Is it technically fall?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No.
So just you just hold off with that fall word.
I love this, though.
I know. It is, hey, it's nice.
This is awesome.
I got to admit, it's pretty nice. I mean,
you go outside right now, it's perfect. It and you is. Go inside at night, you get a...
I had to shut my window last night. It was so cold.
Right. That's perfect. I love when you go home,
yes.
And at night, you just curl under a blanket. Yep. I like that.
Yep. Does that mean I don't have my winter skin yet that I wasn't prepared yet? Because, like, I always laugh, like, 50 degrees now seems so cold. But when winter ends and it gets up to 50...
You're sweating.
Oh, you just feel like it's the best thing that's ever happened. Exactly. Hey, full disclosure, all right?
We're going here. All righty. Just get this out of there.
I'm going to get it out of the way.
Okay. Lon has a 3-6 sports show that we do here called the Tay and Jay Show.
I didn't know it was going to last this week, though. I thought maybe I'd hear over the weekend that we were done.
Did you think you had Tuesday and Wednesday off for Labor Day as well? Because you had Friday off, you had Monday off, and now you figured you need Tuesday, Wednesday off to watch the Illinois game because you haven't even watched it.
I saw highlights on findingillini.com.
Oh, okay.
And I did read the News Gazette. They always do a great job of that.
You didn't watch the game?
I did not see the game, guys.
How does that
happen?
So
I didn't see any high school. I didn't see any Illini. But I did tape the Broncos-Cardinals game. So I can chat that.
Preseason NFL game.
That's
what you put in.
Second and third teams.
Well, thank the Lord that Mike Carpenter is here and that I watched the game. I had a wedding, so I couldn't be there.
Right.
Which was sadly, but the wedding went okay. And then I watched it the next day, watched it kind of twice, actually, through it. I did all the replays. And then Mike Carpenter was actually there sweating his butt off in the East Balcony.
Well, I promise that won't happen again. I promise. In fact, I just found out today. I think today we're making plans. We're even going to go to the Purdue game. So now on, it's going to be all on say all the time.
So you're tailgating next week.
Oh, yeah.
For the Jackrabbits.
Actually, after the game, Lucas has a cross-country meet, I think, in Normal before the game, so I might even make the game a little late. Ugh. these parental things.
Can you at least DVR the first quarter?
These parental things are killing me. Well, that's the thing. You
didn't do any parental things this weekend.
No, I didn't. You're right.
You were being the kid this weekend.
Yes, yeah. We went to Canton, Ohio. That's a long drive.
Yeah.
May I tell you?
8 hours?
Seven. Yeah, you go to Columbus, then you go up about two. We were almost
Akron.
To Cleveland, right?
Close
to
Akron.
So we went to Canton. We did win our first game ever at Nationals, so we were pretty excited about that.
What was the overall record?
1-3.
Okay.
Which is a 3-game guarantee, but the way the schedule broke out with how many teams, we actually played 4, which is weird. Hmm. But the second and third game, we played very well. And then the fourth game, we were that was Sunday morning at 8. And we were all just so ready to get out of Canton. I mean, we were
tired.
Was
that because of what you did on Saturday night or because you were just ready
Thursday,
to get out of Ohio?
Friday, Saturday.
Right.
Yeah. So
8 a.m. wake-up call, 4 o'clock, you went to bed, I'm guessing.
It was one of those deals where it was just a bunch of, I mean, there were some wives there, right? So we all were, it's not we didn't do anything
wrong.
Some wives, yeah, not all of them went. Some wives, but we don't do anything wrong, but you just sit there and you talk softball until like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Ew.
And it's like, why do we do this?
How much softball is there to talk?
Oh, you could
what
you'd
kind
be
of strategy
surprised.
You'd
be
we got
oh,
going
no. It's just all about the funny stuff.
Oh.
No strategy.
Anecdotes
no strategy.
And stuff.
Yeah, it's like, hey, did you really fall yesterday and bust your butt? Stuff like that, you know. So, and then we talk about the good old days when we first started playing fast pitch.
Start talking high school football, too.
No.
That's always a sign that the discussion should probably end.
Yeah, that's probably. It's time for bed.
My wife always says that. High school football, time to go home.
Let's go home. But we had a good time, and the other Villa Grove team finished 7th. They went 3-2, so Central Illinois was well represented in the Nationals, and we had a good time. Nobody got hurt. I got a hit. I won.
One hit?
One hit.
That's a stat line?
That's it.
How many innings did you play?
10. 10 total. So one hit. I think I batted.
You drove 14 hours round trip to play 10 innings and missed the Illinois game.
Lon doesn't mind not playing anymore. All right? So let's just go with that. I don't mind sitting on the bench.
You're a good team player then.
Oh.
Good for the clubhouse.
When you get to be my age, you just enjoy being with the guys.
Well, so are you just going to step aside while Mike and I talk about the Illinois game?
No, listen. I talked to a couple buddies. I got their take on it. They were there.
You got some second, you got third person accounts.
It's almost like I was there.
Okay.
And then I actually talked to him about tailgating. And then it got to the Illini game.
And then some softball.
So, right. Yeah, we talked a little softball.
This reminds me of my AP English class senior year of high school, where I think I might have read one of the assigned books, and the rest of them were sparknotes.com.
Nice.
So basically, you saw the highlights, you might have looked at the box score, and you're coming into class, and you're like, okay, if I get called on.
Yep,
I have enough material.
I got one troubling text Saturday, and I came off. I know the exact thing that happened.
Was it about Riley O'Toole?
Yes, it was.
Ah, there you go.
We knew
that was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen. And I ended up making it to third, and I'm sweating my tail off. Inning ends. I walk into the dugout to grab my glove. I was playing third base. Towel myself off, and I hear my phone. So I look down, and there's a text. And Riley O'Toole enters the game. And I'm like, 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. No.
Yep.
So, and all I knew was, does that mean Shieldhouse is hurt? Or
that's a blowout.
Are they trying to make me mad? Which they did. Which they made me mad. But what do I know? I didn't play football. So that's full disclosure. I'm not a football player. I'm not going to sit here and rip Ron Zook and that staff for playing Riley O'Toole. That doesn't mean I don't disagree with it.
Because
I disagree with it. 100%.
Go for it.
And I would love to hear what people think about it. But we're going to get to that. Mm-hmm. We got a lot to get to today.
We do.
And I have half a voice.
Yeah,
I noticed.
What's wrong with you?
That means it was a good week.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
That's all you need to know.
We do have a show. I had a busy day today. Left the station. I interviewed John Stiglmeyer, the head coach of the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, who are coming to town on Champaign on Saturday. But we're going to play that for you tomorrow. We got to talk to him. Then Ron Zook.
Okay.
Today's press conference. And Mike Thomas had a little press conference at like 1 o'clock. So I came back, and we're going to play all that audio for you. You hear from Ron Zook. You hear from Mike Thomas. Some interesting things he said about possibly playing a game in Chicago as one of their home games. Also possible opponents that they might play up there.
Okay.
Just about the scheduling and how his first, you know, almost what's a month now that he's almost been AD. So we'll get to hear that too. Also, Lindsey Wilhite, the college beat reporter for the Daily Herald. He covers Illinois. He was at the game on Saturday. Also, he's going to cover Northwestern EIU up in Evanston this weekend. Good. So we'll hear from Lindsey in about 4 o'clock.
Great guy, Lindsey Wilhite. This is how much I was out of it. Who won the Eastern Illinois State game?
Eastern Illinois.
They did. Okay. Yeah. Well, congrats to Bob Spoo and the Panthers, I guess. That's off to a good start for them because I think Illinois State have been doing pretty well in that.
Yeah, and well, Bob Spoon might join us on Friday, his last year, and they're going to be playing Northwestern, so a big in-state game for them. Obviously have a lot to try and win that game. I mean, Northwestern ran the ball all over Boston College, which historically has been a great rush defense team.
Well, Bob Spoo is honestly one of the nicest people you would ever meet, interview, et cetera, and you'll never hear a coach say a bad thing about Bob Spoo. That's the truth. He is very well liked, very well respected, and certainly a guy that I would be very honored to interview here on the Tay and Jay Show. He's a great guy. All right, so we got a lot to get to, so we need to take a break first. Let's do that. It's Lante, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter, the trifecta's here.
Triumvirate.
Yeah, I always say it wrong. Triumvirate.
Okay. You had a long weekend.
I did.
It's fine.
I did. You need to write that word down, but I don't even know what that word is. It's the Tay and Jay Show. You can call us, 359-2255. That's area code 217-359-2255. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
All right, so the big news, the Fighting Illini got it done in their season opener. First time since 2006 that Illinois has started the season 1-0, and as full disclosure, I say, I didn't see it. I wasn't there. I didn't see the game. I forgot to tape it, yada, yada. So I'm going to ask you guys to be my, what would you say?
Experts?
Your eyes
experts.
And ears.
Experts, you can summarize it.
Yeah.
And I want to hear from our callers as well, 359-2255, 359-2255. What did you like? What did you see? What troubled you? I know it was hot. But what do you think? I mean, was it something that you were pretty happy starting the season? So I'll ask you, Jeremy. I mean, were you satisfied? Game one, you came out, you got the victory, you were down early. Were you pretty excited or what?
Well, I think if you're in Illinois, you're satisfied because, one, you got the win.
Right.
Which is all that matters at the end of the year. When you look at the schedule and you see Arkansas State, that doesn't matter. You got to get to 6 or 7 wins to get in the bowl game, and this is one of them.
Yep.
They're one step closer to a bowl game, if that's the way you can put it. I thought the offense, you have to be impressed with the way they adjusted. Arkansas State really, really stacked the line after Jason Ford started off really well. His first 10 carries had 67 yards.
Wow.
Then they stacked the line, and Ford had a little trouble. But offensively, the passing game really got going. Shieldhouse looked good, and that's something last year when they played Missouri. When Missouri started stacking the line against Shieldhouse, he was young, inexperienced guy, and he didn't handle that well, threw a couple picks. And then this year, he really adjusted well. You see that maturity process in 1 year. And, of course, A.J. Jenkins just looks like a great receiver, a go-to guy. And Darius Malines looks like a future star, too. And maybe, I mean, that's a really strong 1-2 punch in the receiving game.
And we're going to talk about A.J., I know, in a little bit. But, Mike, you were there. What do you think? I mean, were you worried early, or did you like what you saw?
I didn't like what I saw the first 20 or so minutes. Even though we were getting the running game kind of going, it just seemed like the offense was sputtering. It just couldn't keep momentum up. But like Jeremy said, I think that the adjustments they made, it's good to know that Petrino isn't that stubborn of an offensive coordinator. He could have said, you know what, we got the big guys on our line. We got Jason Ford. We're just going to run it, and this will pay off. But instead, he adjusted. And Nate, despite some bad throws early, man, he had some great passes in that game. I mean, you cannot throw a ball better than what he threw to Jenkins on the 70-yard touchdown. You cannot throw it any better than that in stride, and only one person could touch it. Very impressed with the 1-2 punch at receiver.
Yeah, and Shieldhouse, I think 16 of 23. He was so accurate. And the one thing I took away from this when you watch the film is he didn't really give Arkansas State a chance to even break on a ball.
Nice.
I mean, none of those passes were really bad where he could have made a big mistake. There might have been one or two, but not too many. And the one thing, we talked about his arm strength, how he was on a pitch count before. His best pass, Mike said the 72-yard pass to A.J. Jenkins. I thought the one to Darius Malines when he threw it to his outside shoulder, And Darius came down with it. Only Darius could have caught that ball. And that's something where, I think you see Nathan Shieldhouse mature as a passer.
So Illinois almost, because of Nathan this year, maybe a pick your poison. If you're going to defend him, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you defending on the run, or are you defending the pass? And Jeremy, that can make you a very scary team, if you will.
Well, yeah, and I think the passing game's much more improved. I think Paul Petrino has way more confidence in it. But again, I mean, this was a Division I FBS team, of course. It's a Sun Belt Conference team, but it was Arkansas State. This isn't Arizona State, who's going to be here in Week 3.
Exactly.
And this isn't Northwestern, who you're going to see in Week 5.
In addition, that was a good point on the pass that Nate made to the opposite shoulder to Malines, who was my pick to click, by the way.
That's right.
He was my pick to click. Darius made a catch on, I don't know if I'd call it a curl or a slant pattern, but there was one that I guess you could have said was a dangerous pass. It was great coverage by Arkansas State's cornerback, and Malines made a play on it to make sure that he was the only guy that would come up with it. So it's good to see, some would say, hey, only two guys really caught passes. Ferguson got a short catch. But you know what? I honestly think having go-to guys is huge. The other guys will get their catches. That's not going to be a problem.
Are you satisfied with Illinois' Week 1 win? Do you think, have your expectations changed with this team? 359-2255, 217-359-2255.
Let's go to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Is this right? We've got Donna. How are you, Donna?
Hi, Lon.
Are you
How
still,
well did are, the are, defense do? Because I didn't get to watch the game.
So hey, are you still in Seattle?
Yeah.
Do you just go there for like a month, or what do you do?
I spend about 3 weeks out here.
Awesome. Are you keeping our beer cold?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was worried that it was getting hot. You know what? I'll let these guys answer on the defense.
Well, Donna, they were kind of a bend but not break kind of defense. I mean, I think they went into that game saying, hey, keep everything in front of you because they're going to spread it out and kind of pick you apart. They had 290 passing yards, Arkansas State did. So a lot of people are worried about the secondary.
Right.
And I have some concerns about the safeties. I think Steve Hull didn't play his best game, but he's an experienced guy. He got beat a couple times, but Arkansas State didn't take advantage of it. Terry Hawthorne had a bad play where he got turned around around a little bit. But I thought, in the most part, I thought the front seven did pretty well. Akeem Spence played well. Glenn Foster, who played a defensive tackle over Craig Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson didn't play at all, huh?
Yeah, he didn't play much.
Oh, okay.
Glenn Foster, you know, was better for the spread because I still don't think Craig Wilson, who's 330 pounds, doesn't have the conditioning to play against a no-huddle spread team.
In that heat.
Right. The thing is, Don, I don't think for week one, we don't know yet about this defense, and I don't think we will until Arizona State comes to town.
That's what I thought. And that's a night game, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock at night.
Well, goody.
Six o'clock at night. My bad.
Wow.
I was thinking 7. 6 o'clock. That's kind of a goofy start. I thought it was 7.
No, it's not. It's prime time.
It was 7 o'clock Eastern. See, I saw it this weekend when I was in Ohio.
Yeah,
it said 7.
Yeah.
Eastern.
What are you doing in Ohio?
I was playing softball, Donna.
Oh, how's your team doing?
We did all right. We're done now. But, you know, I'm an athlete, so I've got to play.
They did well off the field, Donna.
Right,
yes.
We did very well.
Oh, that's it.
I think we won the trophy for most most cocktails consumed, most beer.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about making memories off the field.
And forgetting them immediately.
Correct. Hey, Donna, thanks for calling. Be careful coming back from Seattle.
Oh, don't worry, I will.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, now, one thing with this Illini game. Yeah, go ahead.
One thing, I got to ask Mike this.
Okay.
Because you were actually at the field.
Yeah.
Arkansas State was winning this game 8-7. After that safety, and wow, those kickers, two different kickers for them, kick over 45-yard field goals. What was the groan like in that stadium? What did it sound like when you're actually sitting there in the East Balcony?
There was a sense of unease, but I don't think people were too freaked out. It was still midway through the second half. We responded right away. If we hadn't, let's say the offense would have went back out, they're 3-and-out, and they get the ball with the lead, with a chance to extend that lead. That didn't happen. The largest groan was actually when we gave up the safety, which was inexcusable, and the players said as much after the game.
Yeah, that was Jack Cornell. It was our guy who, the fear of the beard. He didn't block very well. He didn't get a cross on the face on that guy, and he got beat off the ball.
But, I mean, there's no doubt that there's a kind of a psyche with Illinois fans, and I have a little bit of it too, though I was trying to remain calm, and I did a good job of it, but I was right on the precipice of saying, oh, my God. Is this really going to happen? Is this going to be game one of the Ron Zook farewell tour? And luckily, we can't call it that yet. If Illinois would have went 3-and-out or something bad would have happened when we got the ball down 8-7, but instead we go down, get the touchdown, and then I think people, when we got the field goal and we're up 2 possessions at halftime, that's when, you know, there was more of a sense of calm that, hey, we dodged the bullet, our offense will get going, and sure enough, it did.
Well, when you play these kind of teams, though, you know, they're going to give you everything they can for a quarter and a half. I mean, that's, you see it all over the country when you see scores, you know, and wow, they're up on them. You know, it's just one of those, wow.
And the thing was, I mean, special teams, Illinois, you know, Ryan Lankford with the rugby punt. He didn't, that was bad. So they had good field position. The defense, you know, bent a little bit.
And we couldn't shake it. We could not shake the bad field position. They kept on getting the ball around the 35-40, and we were getting it deep.
And we talked about Illinois making adjustments on the fly. Well, that was kind of in the middle of the making adjustments when they stacked the line, and Jason Ford just couldn't find any room. I mean, the offensive line maybe struggled there a bit, but I think it was about 6-on-8 or 6-on-9 for most of that time. And then Jason Ford seemed to get a little happy feet. He seemed like he was starting to dance a little bit. His last 12 carries, he only had 19 yards. So that's maybe a cause for concern because he's best when he's just going north to south.
I totally agree.
You know, when he tries to stretch it out like Mikel could do, Mikel LeShore could do it, Rashard Mendenhall could do it, they were still fast enough to get around a corner. I don't think Jason is that, but he can still go for long games.
Yeah.
It's just he breaks tackles right up the middle. When he puts his head down, it's hard to stop a guy that's 240 pounds.
Well, were you one of the 45,000 at Memorial Stadium? Give us a call, 359-2255. We'd love to hear from you, hear your thoughts on week one and what you thought. A.J. Jenkins had an interesting thought after the game. Let's talk about that next. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.